Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? People often ask me, how to sign up to tell a story at Tell Us Something. Go to tellussomething.org to see the themes for 2017. Click the link for the theme that resonates with you. A new page opens. Complete the form there, then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on December 13th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. Eight storytellers shared their story based on the theme, The Unlikeliest of Places. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Gary Delp and is titled The Old Mill. Thanks for listening.
Happy winter, everybody. We're gonna bring it back to Missoula a little bit. This story takes place here. The first time I saw Linda, she was riding her bike on an old road that is now part of the Missoula River Trail system. It was a beautiful June day. The sun was shining, and Linda was dressed for the season. She had on a summer sun hat, a long dress, pumps, her face was made up, and on that early summer day, you know, she just looked, well, she looked happy. But what I immediately thought when I saw her was, what are you doing here just a week later back here at the scene of the crime? Now, the scene of the crime was the old Champion Mill, a 20-acre piece of ground over just south of the Clark Fork River in the middle of Missoula. The year was 1995. I was 24 years old and finishing up my first year in what would become my career as a building dismantler. We were taking down some buildings there. I was living on site in an old office building with two other guys, Barrett and Jeff. In an old office building, it had no power, no running water, but it was good enough for us. And a couple days before the night in question, a windstorm had blown through Missoula, and it had blown plywood and metal roofing all over the place at the mill and created quite a mess of things. And it also blew down a couple copper power lines, old defunct power lines at the other side of the mill. Jeff, a friend and an employee, asked me one day after work if he could cut the copper, bring it in for scrap. I said, Jeff, that'd be fine. So a day or two later, it's Friday night, and Jeff and Barrett had been out tying one on at the local bars and knocked on my door. I was fast asleep. Hey, Delp, can I borrow some bolt cutters? Cut that wire down. And I mumbled, sure, knock yourself out. Fell back to sleep. And an indeterminate amount of time later, I was awakened by the sound of a pickup truck screaming across the mill. It had a flat tire. And Jeff screaming at the top of his lungs, Delp! Delp! Give me a gun! Delp, they killed my dog! They stabbed Aspen! They tried to kill me! Give me a gun! Don't know what's going on. Wake up, I hear a little bit more. Get out of bed. Jeff runs up the porch. He throws up on my door. Delp! They stabbed my dog. They killed Aspen. They tried to kill me. Give me a fucking gun! Now, you would have to be a complete idiot to give a gun to somebody who is clearly very drunk, highly agitated, to avenge the death of their best friend in the whole world. The pistol I gave him was a Target 22. It was a semi-automatic. It had a hair trigger. He took the magazine and the pistol. He went out the door. He hopped in his truck. And Barrett, who he'd been out drinking with, who got woken up by all the commotion, hopped in the passenger side of the truck. He shut the door. Boom! Gun goes off. Barrett jumps out of the truck. Man, you almost shot me. Jeff puts the hammer down and goes flying across the mill. A few moments later, I hear gunshots. And my heart goes into the pit of my stomach, and I think my friend has just maybe killed somebody. I'm getting dressed. I get a shotgun. I load it up because I don't know what the fuck is going on. I walk out the door. I go to my truck, and I see the headlights of the red Toyota and the flat tire coming back across the mill. Jeff comes up, and I said, hey, did you just shoot somebody? No, man. No, they weren't there. I just shot into the side of the building. And then I heard his dog moaning, and I look in the back of his truck, and Aspen's there, and he's bloody, and he's got a big hole in his side. And I run inside the office, and I call the phone. I call the emergency vet. They tell me who the vet on call that night is. I run outside. I say, Jeff, get in the back of my truck, man. Let's go. He grabs his dog, climbs in the bed of the truck, and I'm flying out of the west side of the mill. And in my rearview mirror, I can see the red and blue lights of the cops coming in the other side. We get out to Russell Street. We're flying down. I'm doing 50 miles an hour. And somehow, Sandy Moore, the vet at AndCare, beat us there, and she's amazing. We bring the dog inside, we bring her into the back room, and she examines the dog. We're helping hold him, and she says, you know what, it's below his diaphragm, but I don't think it hit any major organs. You know, your dog, it might be all right. She said, I'll sedate it, I'll stay with it for the night. There's nothing you guys can do. Why don't you go home and try and get some sleep? So Jeff and I leave the vet, and we get in the front of my truck, and we're driving back to the mill, and I say, Jeff, what the hell happened? And he said he walked over there, got my bolt cutters, went over the power line. There was three or four or five power poles close together, and there was a ladder that went up about 20 feet to a metal grate. Jeff climbed up the ladder to the metal grate and was trying to figure out how to get up to cut the other side of the power lines. These two guys came out of the shadows, and they said, boy, that's our copper. Son, you crossed the line. That's our copper. Now, Jeff, he's a young guy. He was burly. He was strong. He was a hell of a worker, but he wasn't a fighter. He said, yeah, you know, my bad. It's your copper, you know. It's your copper. No, son. No, you crossed the line, boy. We're going to kill you. Whoa! You're copper, you know, you can have the bolt cutters. I don't want any trouble. No, son, you crossed the fucking line. There were two guys, one little guy, or maybe he was a regular-sized guy, but his buddy was 6'3", 6'4", if he was a foot, and he was broad and he was muscular, and that big guy started climbing up the ladder. The whole time they're threatening him, we're going to kill you, you cross the line, it's our copper. Whole time, Jeff, no. Mistake, it's yours. The big guy gets his head up above the level of the deck, and he looks at Jeff. He's got curly blonde hair and these thick glasses, and he looks at Jeff, and he says, boy, you could kick me off of here right now. Jeff says, no, man, I don't want any trouble. The guy gets up on the deck, and he takes a big swing, and Jeff just ducked it. He said he realized at that point this guy was drunker than he was. He reeked of whiskey. And they tussled a little bit at that tower, and all of a sudden Jeff found himself flat on his back on the metal grate. The guy had his hands around his neck, and his thumb was pressing tight in Jeff's trachea. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't yell. He couldn't do anything. And the guy's buddy down below is yelling, don't kill him! Don't kill him! And you know, I have no idea. I think they were just kind of fucking with Jeff, but all of a sudden, this big guy's standing above him, pressing his thumb in his trachea, and is kind of seems out of it. But all of a sudden, he sort of snaps out of it, and I honestly don't remember how it all transpired at that point, but they all ended up down on the ground level, couple more wild swings. And Jeff's dog, Aspen, kind of a Malamute husky sort of dog, always rode in the back of this truck, always went everywhere with him. He jumped out of the pickup, just kind of to check things out. He wasn't growling or doing anything. He went up to the smaller guy, and the guy grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and lifted him up on his back legs, took a knife out of his pocket and buried it in his side. Dog dropped. Everybody froze. Jeff ran for his truck. He hopped in his truck. He fired it up, and he tried to run those two guys over. He said he bumped up against one of them, but they took off, and I don't know, he hit a piece of metal, hit a board with a nail in it, but somehow he flattened his tire, and he went driving across the mill. Delp, delp, give me a gun. They killed my dog. We got back to the mill, and I said, hey, Jeff, you know, you got a flat tire. Why don't you stay here? You know, I'm going to try and get some sleep. There's nothing we can do, and that's what I did. So the next day, I called my buddy Micah, best friend. I said, Micah, you will not believe what happened at the mill last night. And I told him the whole story. I got to the part about the big guy, long, blonde, curly hair, thick, thick glasses. God, he had to have been 6'4", according to Jeff. And Micah said, holy shit, dude, I think I know that guy. That's Linda. Linda was a transgender woman who wanted to get an operation to make a full transition, but the VA wouldn't pay for it. She was also chronically homeless and an alcoholic, and she had a mountain bike and a burly trailer, and she'd go around at night and procure copper or other metal to sell for scrap. She used to get her bike work down at New Era Bikes, where my buddy Micah worked, and hang out there, and so that's how he knew her. Several months later, at the end of the summer, I was doing a job over at Bitterroot Flower Shop, right across 6th Street from New Era Bikes. And a lot of afternoons, I would head over and hang out with Micah, hang out with the bike mechanics there. And one time I went over, and Linda was sitting in the back alley. She was just sitting on the pavement, and I had two dogs, and they went up to her, and she let them lick her face, and she was patting them and stuff. And it turned out Linda was a dog lover. I ended up kind of shooting the shit with her. I didn't tell her what I did for work. I didn't tell her where I lived earlier that summer. But, you know, I walked away thinking that, you know, she just seemed like a decent person. Micah told me back then that one time he overheard a conversation she was having. She was using their payphone with her dad, kind of a heated conversation, and he doesn't remember it, and I don't remember the details now, but the gist of it was, she was talking to her dad. She said, Dad, Kevin, or whatever her birth name was, Kevin died in Vietnam. I'm Linda now, and I wish you could accept it. You know, that night, everybody involved, you know, everybody ended up okay. Aspen, the dog, he made a full recovery. Jeff, he got over the trauma of the night. And Barrett, you know, Barrett didn't get shot. But I think of Linda, and wherever she is now, I mean, if she's even still alive. But I guess my hope is, if she is, that she's found some level of peace and happiness, like I saw on her face when she was riding her bike so many years ago by the old mill. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Delp moved to Missoula in 1991 to go to college. 6 months later, he had quit school and was living out of a backpack while hitchhiking and train hopping around the West. In 1994, he started work as a building dismantler. He owns Heritage Timber with his wife, Becky, and even their three children, ages 3, 5, and 6, contribute to the family business by sorting nuts, bolts, and other hardware. Learn more about Gary and his work at heritagetimbermt.com. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building and has become a destination for nationally touring musicians. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at great prices needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail, 103.3, Missoula's Quality Rock, and a part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and who know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, finally a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy with upbeat and fun top 40 favorites. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom modern or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. And you can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design, and are a proud supporter of the arts, hosting First Fridays every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. Thanks to Cash for Drunkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForDrunkersMusic.com. If you are interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at mark@tellussomething.org. That's MARC@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers Geraldine Carter, Gary Warchola, Ann Karp, Greg Reagan, Paula Short, Abe Abramson, Gary Delp, and Jeff Sutton. Remember, your story matters. To sign up to Tell a Story in 2017, go to tellussomething.org to see the themes for the year. Click the link for the theme that resonates with you. When the spreadsheet opens, add your information to the spreadsheet, then call 406-203-4683 to pitch your story. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story, and to learn more, tellussomething.org.